The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And I swore, I didn't reach out to God, but I swore I was never going to drink or do drugs again. I meant it. 26 mugshots later.
Wow.
Okay. On my 27th mugshot, I finally realized that God was all I needed because he was all I had.
After destroying a successful career as a luxury home builder, Michael Moulthad experienced a profound spiritual awakening during his time behind bars. Next.
Everybody, I'm Tammy Trent. Welcome to Life Today. This is Randy Robison. Great to be back with you again. Honestly, and it's great to be back with you guys. I'm so glad you're here. You could be anywhere else today, but you're with us. And I pray that today's a good day for you, that you feel hope, that you feel encouraged, that you know that you are never too far gone. And such is a testimony that we have with our guest today, Michael Moulthad. He has Confessions of a Felon that he's going to share with us, which I think already, like, wow, what is this going to mean? So he is an amazing guy with an incredible testimony, a recovered drug addict and alcoholic. He says that God was never even anywhere on his radar. He's gone through depression. He's gone through suicidal thoughts. He's had 26 or seven mugshots or something. I mean, he's been through it, but he's come out on the other side, and we're going to talk to him about that today. Michael, it's great to have you here.
What an honor. I mean, I'm just so honored to be here with the two of y'all, and I really appreciate that. And
so glad you're here.
I can't wait to hear what I'm about to say.
Yeah, I can't wait either. So let's start at the top. Like, tell me about your life. How did you get to here today? Like, what did you go through to get with us today?
Well, at a young age, I grew up in the Dallas area, and actually grew up in Plano, Texas. And, you know, at a young age, I experienced, major trauma. You know, my grandfather, as early as I can remember, you know, was sexually abusing me at a very young age. And he was a cop. He was a Border Patrol officer. And I grew up, I tell people, I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. I grew up in a well-to-do family. We had money, and I grew up in country clubs, and I grew up learning how to gamble and play golf, and lived in the men's locker room, and so my definition or perception of a man, that's what I saw, was in the men's locker room. These guys, you know, they taught me how to drink, they taught me how to gamble, they taught me how to work, hung out with real estate tycoons, and little did I know they were teaching me how to die. But behind closed doors, there was a lot of abuse as well. And so I was very confused when I was told I was going to grow up to be just like my grandfather, because my mannerisms were like him. I kept this secret hidden for a very long time.
When did the abuse start, did you say?
From him, as early as I remembered. I mean, you know, from a very young age.
It carried out
to probably about the third or fourth grade, because he passed away of throat cancer because he was a raging alcoholic. And it's a big part of my story, you know, today, because, you know, my mission is to help, not to influence others or be popular.
Right.
You know, God's not interested in celebrities. He's interested in servants. You know, that's what he's looking for. And, you know, I want to help people see life through God's perspective and not the world's or the culture.
Yeah.
Because when I truly forgave him, I realized, and then I speak and was speaking and, you know, shared this story with someone, they broke down and it really touched them. And I realized that God was actually using my grandfather to speak through me as a vessel to share, you know, solutions to sexual abuse. And so and now I can realize why God was doing what he was doing.
So what happened in your teenage years? I mean, how did things begin to evolve and fall apart?
Yeah, so what happened was is I had my first drink of alcohol when I was 10 years old. And I tell people I should have had it when I was 6, you know. But at 10 years old, I had my first drink, and something happened. You know, there's that sense of ease and comfort. I drank alcohol and I did drugs because I wanted to feel like everybody around me looked. I wanted my insides to match their outsides. And so as I was doing this, I kept drinking more and more to get that feeling. And then there were consequences.
Yeah.
And I wanted to drink more and more to get rid of the bad decisions that I was making. So I was creating self-inflicted trauma on top of real trauma. And so I was in this trap that it finally, you know, caught up with me, you know, when I was apprehended and got my very first mugshot as a very successful home builder. And I kid you not, they took me down to the jail, and it was scary. It was scary. I've become this man I'm never going to be.
Wow.
And didn't even know how to bond out. I didn't know how to do that stuff. And so I get bonded out, and I swore, I didn't reach out to God, but I swore I was never going to drink or do drugs again. I meant it. 26 mugshots later.
Wow.
Okay. You know, on my 27th mugshot, I finally realized that God was all I needed because he was all I had.
Wow.
He had stripped me of everything, family, money, everything, you know, for me to turn to him because I never had control in the first place. Yeah. And he used an illiterate murderer to change my life.
Wow. All right. You get your first mugshot, not your last one. What got you from that, you know, the repetition of addiction and crime, if you will, to prison? Because eventually the clock kind of ran out and you got locked up.
So Judge Jennifer Bennett in Dallas, who I call my professional photographer, you know, she chased me all around the state of Texas because I disrespected her. You know, she tried to help me, and I was a runner. You know, I'd violate probation and I'd, you know, get locked up and, you know, get picture after picture. Until she finally said, you're going to mind somebody, and, you know, sent me away. So out of 6 years, I did 4 years incarcerated. And so it was the last time where I had the spiritual awakening. And that's where God set the bond and he gave Christ the key, literally put it in the lock and set me free.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's not the first time I've heard someone had to go to prison in order to be set free.
Yeah, I forgot.
But now that right there is an amazing story. And I really want people to hear it, because no matter where you're at, no matter where your loved ones are at, God hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't forsaken you. He still loves you. He still loves those loved ones that you think may be hopeless.
Yeah.
And there is always hope,
always.
Even when we seem to be at rock bottom. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear about that from Michael in just a moment. But I want you to see another situation real quickly where we have the opportunity to extend hope to those who feel like there is no hope. Watch this and you'll see how.
We talk a lot about the children. As I'm traveling, I spend a lot of time with the children, and I see their need, especially the little ones under five that are so vulnerable. And sometimes the elderly in these communities can be overlooked because we're focused so much on the children. Today is a different day for me when I've come into this village, and yes, I see the children. Yes, my heart is wrapped around those kids. But I'm sitting with this elder of the community, 80 years old, and I think about my own parents. They should be thriving. They should be in a season in their life where they are not struggling, where they're looking around and seeing people prospering, living, laughing. And all he does is cry, feels the weight of the burden, that he can't do anything about it. Even as a father or a grandfather, he can't change it because his hands are tied. There's no water, there's no crops, there's no food, there's nothing. They have very little to survive on, and they're barely making that happen. I have no doubt he is struggling and carrying so much weight every single day. We could do something to help lift that from this community. We could do it today, and we could do it together.
He is beautiful. I see his face even now, and I just takes me right back there holding him. I remember we had this embrace, and I felt the weight. I felt the weight that he carries every single day. And I wanted to lift that from him. I wanted to take it. Even in that embrace, I just wanted to take it from him. I don't think I have ever in my lifetime had to carry such a weight that he and so many other elderly grandparents and parents in that village have had to carry every single day. It is deep hopelessness. Honestly, when we walked in that village, it was heavy, heavy, because they have nothing. Could you imagine having nothing? Everything is gone. The drought has taken everything from them. The lack of rain has given nothing to them. They were hopeless. And yet, in the middle of the deep despair, it was like they were hanging onto that mustard seed, just something, something. And I think even when we showed up, it was enough to give them hope. And so I couldn't leave there and come with you and sit here today without helping to offer them hope. Would you come alongside of me in life today, in life outreach, and help us offer them hope? That's what my cry is today, Randy, when I see that piece, is just offering them hope.
Yeah, there's a beautiful shot in there, Tammy, where you're holding his hand. What was going through your mind?
I think just the difference in our worlds, that our lives are so different. We look different. We have different needs and different things. And but coming together felt like, but we're one. We're one in this moment. And I have the ability to do something, to help you, to do something. I've been given that ability. They don't have the ability to do anything for themselves right now, but I've been given the ability to, so to come back with you and to talk about that today is, it's huge.
Yeah, and you know what? That picture of hands coming together, I think that's God's heart.
Yes.
That's what we're asking you to do today with us. Be that hand that reaches out to someone who is in need and show them the love of Christ by doing something. And we've broken it down very simple just to give you an idea. $30 will help feed 3 children for the next 3 months. $50 will help feed 5. $100 will help feed 10 for the next 3 months. A gift of $1,000 will help feed 100. That just gives you an idea of the power of coming together and giving food to desperate people. And it's not just food. That's what they need right now. But it's also the spiritual food by demonstrating the love of Christ. So will you just take a moment and just say a quick prayer and say, Lord, what would you have me do? And then listen and obey. That's all I ask. Some of you, it will seem small, but it's big to God. Mm-hmm. Others of you, it will seem huge because it will have a huge impact. But it's all the same obedience. Mm-hmm. It's us coming together, holding hands, and sharing that love. Please go online, go to the phone, do it now.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition, and even death. Severe drought and famine, including in crisis areas like Ethiopia, means we must replenish food supplies immediately to keep feeding 350,000 children and help reach more people in desperate need. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send the blessing of taking communion. In this book, discover how the sacred ordinance of communion helps to feed your soul and remind you of the transformative power of receiving the Lord's Supper. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Life Legacy Journal. This beautiful journal and pen will help you write your personal story and share the experiences that made you who you are. One day, the generations that follow will be able to look back and learn from the legacy you've left behind. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Thank you. We've come into this village today because our team made us aware of the fact that there literally is a food crisis that's going on here. And as we came in and we started meeting children and some of the adults started sharing with us the condition in this village, it became evident the crisis here is a food crisis. And that's why I'm asking you right now to get online or to dial that number on your screen and to give that gift. Give the gift of food. Because the gift of food is the gift of life. It's the gift that this community needs right now, right here. And it's the gift that I can give to them if you'll dial that number. If you'll respond with your heart and say, yes, I'll give the gift of life. I'll give the gift of food.
I hope you will go online or go to the phone. Make the best gift you can. We can show the love of God to these people who desperately need to hear from God through us. You are God's hands and God's feet. So let's give them that hope today. Now, we've been talking with Michael Moulton, who was someone that you might think was completely hopeless. And Tammy, we hear about the abuse. We hear about the addiction, about these cycles of repetition. Yep. But man, something happened in prison.
Something happened. He got a hold of a book. He got a hold of a book that changed everything.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
So out of all the tanks I was in, I met some great people, smart people. but this last time, they diagnose you when you get apprehended and they put you in different tanks. But they put me in what's called an aggravated assault tank. And it's all murderers and people who are never going to be set free.
Oh, geez.
And so I'm in this tank and I'm in a 4x9 room. And my cellie, who's my cellmate, they called them Ooey. We had prison names. I was Rabbit because I couldn't sit still. And so another guy gave me a book, and he said, you could have this. And so the book, I just threw it on my bunk, and my Ooey said, hey, what's that book say? And I'm like, I said, well, it says Detours by Dr. Tony Evans. And he says, oh, I love me some Dr. Tony Evans. That's the diesel. I said, well, here you go. You can read it. And he says, well, will you read it to me? And I said, that was just so weird. I've never heard. I go, why? And he says, I can't read and I can't write.
Oh, wow.
And so I started reading this book, and it was a story of Joseph. And I could really relate to what Pastor Evans was talking about. And people have said, Michael, you've got the story of Job and Joseph. Yeah, there's similarities, but I didn't have faith in God. They did. Yeah. And so as I was reading this story, it led me into the Bible. And then on July 7th, 2017, in my top bunk, I couldn't breathe. And I had this pain in my chest. And, there have been nights where I was like wanting to kill myself. And, God, if you're real, or Christ, if you're real, I'm just going to lob it up there. Yeah. Help, save me. Yeah. In years before this. And on July 7, 2017, I couldn't breathe. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like medical. And then I just breathed out. And all I felt coming out was anger and rage and resentment and all this stuff coming out. And I took this deep breath in. It was like ice water, coming into my body. I feel it today. And when it came into my body, I was like going, I love you. I love you. I love Uwe. I saw the guards. I'm loving that guy. I just loved. But I was full of so much love, and I felt so free. Mm. And I felt the presence of God, and I realized that being in the now, right here, right now, is the safest place to be because that's where God's at. The enemy wants me to go to my head in the future alone and in the past and alone in my head, where God says, I'm right here, right now. Look at your feet. And so as a result of that, I read Matthew 6:14-15, when I do my own translation, if you forgive the ones who have hurt you, next verse, I bless your game. Because if I'm holding on to resentment and anger, God can't use me. It's blocked.
Right. Yeah.
And when I truly did that, I kid you not, October 13, 2017, 300 miles away, they came over the microphone. I'm doing a 2-year sentence. I've only been locked up 8 months. They came over the microphone and they said, Michael Moulton, bunk and junk. That means you're free. And the whole tank, who couldn't read and write, this whole tank was illiterate. And they were murderers. And the guards were amazed. And when they came over, there was guys crying. They were like going, what's going on? And they had to physically push me out of prison. Hmm. And I made the journey 300 miles back to Judge Jennifer Bennett's court. And she said, I've heard what you've been doing. And she says, I want you to go pay it forward. And so that's what I'm doing today.
You're paying it forward
Paying it forward.
Doing ever
exactly
since
what my judge said.
October 13, 2017. God said, get up and walk. And you started walking and you've not stopped ever since.
Not stopped.
Wow.
But I've also encountered major spiritual warfare
with
what I'm doing. Every time I want to quit doing what I'm doing and get a real job, y'all call. Another networker call.
Yes.
It happens just like that.
And you're reminded that you are exactly where God wants you to be. It gives, hopefully, strength to you.
Yep.
Michael, do you find that you still have times in your life that you struggle with wanting to take steps backwards?
Absolutely.
And how do you fight that? Because there's probably plenty of people that are watching today, whatever their circumstance might be, that they're in a good place, but tomorrow might not be a great place, and they struggle with that. So how would you encourage people, and how do you encourage yourself when you're struggling?
Well, today I recognize the behaviors way before.
Okay.
Okay, and I have a couple of mentors in my life that when this is happening, I talked to someone about it.
Good.
That's a solution, is
good.
To talk to a godly man. Women work with women and men work with men that I could talk to about and be in the solution. But I recognize my little triggers. I'm in a great relationship that for the first time, I can talk freely with this woman, you know, and I'm not scared because I was always scared to talk to people because I would get hit.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't know what to say. But yeah, I still struggle. I'm human.
Right. Exactly.
But I also know that God's allowing it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
He's allowing it to happen so I can see it through His perspective to share with all of your audience.
Yeah.
This is why it happened. And that's my prayer today.
Yeah.
Is, you know, God, you know what's going to happen today. Help me accept it and see it through your perspective and not mine.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, because when you look back on your life, the abuse at the hands of another, not your fault, right? But the trauma that creates, the addiction, the self-medication, the repeated behavior that just made things worse. Obviously, God did a miraculous work in your life. You know, you're a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. Was there anything on your part that you think you had to do? You mentioned forgiveness, obviously a big one. I mean, you can't earn this for yourself. Is it just a matter of surrender? I'm asking because if there's someone watching who is kind of in that cycle of junk and they're wondering, okay, how do I get out of this?
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
Well, you hear the thing, get honest, okay? Get honest with yourself. That's cliche, that's right. That's right. Ask for help. That helps. But for me, the true honesty is when I said, I don't know. I don't know why I'm doing the things that I'm doing.
Wow.
And I'm willing to go to any length to change. You know, but true forgiveness is this, is that the sooner that I can accept the role that I played in it, is where forgiveness comes in. Wait a minute, you played a role in your grandfather sexually abusing you? Come on, man.
Yeah.
I did. I played a huge role in it. And the role that I played it is I chose to hold on to the resentment. When I look at it through God's perspective, I look at it differently.
You say that the crisis today is the missing man.
Amen.
What do you mean by that?
Our crisis today is the missing man. It's time for fathers to take back the dinner table. You know, everybody I did time with, including myself, has little or no relationship with their father. So women are doing the jobs of men today.
Yeah.
We have a lot of males, but we have very few men. And in what is that? You know, being a man, okay, is the way God defines a man, not the culture. And that's what a true man is that, well, I got to work. No, that's your part-time job. My full-time job is to serve my wife and love my wife like Christ loved the church. That's hard.
I want to ask you to speak to the audience one more time, but if you're watching right now and you have someone in your life that you think they're never going to change. It's hopeless. They're self-destructing. I can't get through to them. I hope you have heard Michael's testimony today and heard God say, it's never too late for me to work on them. Don't stop praying. If you want someone to pray with you right now, there's a telephone number on the screen. You call and another believer will join with you in prayer on behalf of yourself or that loved one. But just know our God is greater than anything that you or your loved ones are going through. So don't lose hope. Don't lose heart. Keep praying. Michael, I know you get this because people would have said, man, that guy, he's hit rock bottom and we just need to write him off. Right. What do you say to that person who's praying for someone and hoping, but they're losing heart?
Families are important, and families hurt a lot over this, okay? And there's help for them too, and we offer that. But I realized that every time I kept hitting rock bottom, all these times, okay, the rock at the bottom at all these times was Christ.
Amen.
And so why would I want to get out of the bottom?
Yeah.
So I stayed there. Mm-hmm. And I let godly men and murderers pull me out of the bottom.
So there's hope.
There is hope.
There's hope and accountability and finding people that will surround us to walk these seasons out with us. Maybe when we can't walk ourselves, someone that'll carry you when you can't carry yourself. So find somebody. I think that's what I'm hearing
right.
you say. Is
connection.
Like connection with people, godly counsel, and to fight for your spiritual life, fight for your life, because God has such a plan for you and a purpose. You're walking in it now, but there's so much more for you, Michael. I have no doubt you and your wife-to-be, there's a lot of great things that God has in store, and there's a lot of great things that God has in store for you today as well. What a great place for us to be, Randy, in a place of hope and anywhere in our lives.
Well, you know, I like at the bottom, the rock is Christ. That's the only foundation
yes.
we need. And sometimes we have to be stripped of all of us, you know, to get more of Him. So
yeah.
thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate you sharing.
No,
keep sharing.
Thank
yes.
you, because me sharing put me in the safest place in the world for 30 minutes.
Amen.
And it's
exactly.
right here, right now.
Exactly. It's so true.
So good. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys being a part. And we do, again, invite you to be a part of our Mission Feeding Outreach, sharing the gospel in word and deed. We'll see you again next time here on Life Today.
For over 60 years, Life Outreach International has shared the transforming truth of God's love in both word and deed. Call now to become a friend for life. Your monthly support will help us continue to bring God's love to a world in need.
And for me, it came to the point where at age 16, my bags were packed for a mental institution.
Sexual abuse survivor Jenna Quinn, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.